Welcome to From the Tops podcast. It's Christopher O'Reilly here, and this week we're bringing you another great show, this time from Aspen. The Mendelssohn Rondo that opens the program is played by a young trio with great style, and you'll like the closer too, one of my favorite young pianists, Colton Peltier. Enjoy.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Today, you'll meet a boy from provincial China who discovered the piano by himself, but got enough good teaching to have one shot at getting into the Central Conservatory. He made it and then had one shot at coming to America to study. Now 16 years old and studying at Curtis, he'll tell his amazing story and play the evocative music of Claude Debussy. Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, and welcome. We're at one of the great places in the world for classical music in the summer, the Aspen Music Festival in spectacular Aspen, Colorado. And Aspen is also one of the greatest places to study classical music making in the summer. The Aspen Music School attracts an outstanding faculty and many of the best young players in the country. You'll hear eight of them today on this All Aspen show. And whenever we come to Aspen, we're surrounded by kids who've been on our show. And to celebrate that fact, we've got a piano trio made up of From the Top alums to start our show here on the stage of Harris Hall. We have Haruno Sato, 18-year-old violinist, Austin Huntington, 19-year-old cellist, and Adria Yi, 15-year-old pianist. Please welcome them. Haruno, what are we going to start the program with?
We will be playing the finale from Mendelssohn's Trio in D minor number 1.
Thank you.
alumni piano trio, Haruno Sato, 18-year-old violinist, Austin Huntington, 19-year-old cellist, and Adriel Yee, 15-year-old pianist, playing the finale of the Mendelssohn Piano Trio in D minor. These guys have been coached here at the Aspen Music Festival and School by David Finkel and Wu Han as part of their chamber music studio. You know, the rondo is such a time-tested finale form, but it occurs to me, listening to this, the repetition of the theme and the economy of means and the way that it reaches out and really evolves into an apotheosis is really something unmatched, I think, in the Romantic repertoire. And certainly the performance was unmatched. You know, just fantastic playing, you guys.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that. To help our listeners understand what makes Aspen such a great place to come for aspiring young musicians, I want to ask you to share one of your favorite moments here. Haruno, you wanted to talk about something that happened earlier this summer.
Yes, at the beginning of the summer, there was a convocation, and Alan Fletcher, the president and CEO of Aspen, spoke about the current situation of our profession, classical music. And he was talking to us about the struggles, about, you know, all these orchestras going into bankruptcies, and it's so unfortunate that these things are happening to them. And he, you know, said that there are four parts that work together, and it's the musicians, the administration, the boards, and you, the audience. And if those four don't work together, it falls apart, and we all have to respect each other and always inspire and aspire to be a greater organization and be unified so that we can all continue to do this beautiful thing that is making music.
I'm glad it made an impression. That speech certainly started conversations all over the classical music world. Adria, this is you practicing the Mendelssohn on your own. It does take a lot of practicing to play this piece, doesn't it? How does this contribute to your memories?
Well, I mean, I love this trio so much, and it's so much fun to play, but I think Mendelssohn must have had some kind of dreadful vendetta against pianists, because he made the piece really unpleasant to learn and play, and it may not be the most difficult piece in piano repertoire, but it's definitely a bit of a marathon, and I had a bit of trouble with it, so luckily, Wu Han, who I was lucky enough to study with for the first half of the summer, helped me a lot with that. She's just an incredible musician, and it's such a joy to work with her. She taught me a lot about sound production and economy of motion, so that I know how to use my fingers and wrists to play in a way where I can handle the fast passages without looking like I'm going to pass out on stage. And she's just a wonderful musician, and you can really feel that she has so much passion for music, and it's just contagious.
Well, you mastered that part with a great deal of poise. It was just beautiful watching you as well as listening to. And I guess Aspen has done a lot for all of you, but you're doing a lot for Aspen, and we really are honored by your presence here today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our alumni piano trio, Haruno Sato, 18 years old, Austin Huntington, 19, and Adria Yee, 15.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
My name's Brian Mangrum. I'm 18 and I play the horn. But I love hockey, I love playing, and the best thing it does for me is takes my mind off anything else. It's such a fast-paced game, you have to be focused all the time. It takes your mind off anything during that week, schoolwork, playing the horn, anything you're worried about. After the game, I do practice occasionally, like this piece I'm going to play for you. It's Villanelle, written by Paul Dukas. And this piece was written in 1906 for the Paris Conservatory examination system. These students had to play this piece in order to graduate. This piece combines many techniques in the horn, but most importantly would be the natural horn technique, so without valves. So half of what I'm going to play is going to be with valves, and the other half will be valveless. Let's see if you can tell the difference. Again, this is Villanelle by Paul Dukas.
Mangrum, 18-year-old horn player from Montreal, here at the Aspen Music Festival in school this summer. Brian, that is one tough examination piece. I think you passed. I think you've passed with flying colors, actually.
Thank you.
Especially with that high C at the end and everything. As you mentioned, this piece had you switching from using the valves on your horn to using natural technique. No valves, like an old post horn, a hunting horn or something. When I first heard about this piece, I thought you were going to be switching instruments and use one actual natural horn like a rogue specialist would do, but no. You play natural technique on a modern horn, and the sound is very different. We'll explain and demonstrate a little bit. First, remind everyone what the valves on the modern horn do.
When you have your horn, it's a certain length of tubing. And on that length of tubing, I'm able to play notes from one harmonic series. So
there you're not using the valves at all.
No.
How do you change the pitch?
Well, you use your lips and your air to go to the next note. And with natural horn, what you do, if you want any note between the harmonic series, is you have to use your hand in the bell to plug it to a certain degree to get the note. So the scale would, for example, be.
Very good. So, but what is stopping your horn with your hand due to the sound of the note? I guess we heard a sort of a, I guess it's a slightly more, how would you describe it?
Well,
it's a little bit more metallic, a little bit more veiled, muted, I guess.
Yeah,
would be the best word.
It sounds muffled.
Yeah.
Definitely the valves make life a lot easier.
Okay, so let's demonstrate. Can you play a line from the Villanelle, say, using valves? Now play the same thing using the natural technique. There's really an unearthly quality about the natural technique of playing it. I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad you have to do it, not me. Brilliant job there, Brian. Great having you on the show.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Brian Mangrum, 18 years old, from Montreal, here at the Aspen Music Festival and School this summer. On stage with me now is Sterling Elliott, a 14-year-old cellist from Newport News, Virginia. He and I are going to perform the third movement of the Cello Concerto in D Minor by Edward Lalo. But Sterling, am I right in saying that this piece was not your favorite music at first?
You are right. I hated this piece at first, to be honest. Listening to it was just like a no-no. But I was doing a Sphinx competition for quite a while, and I had to play Boccherini Cello Concerto for like 5 years, ever since I was 9 years old. So this year they finally changed it to Lalo Cello Concerto, and I mean, anything's better than Boccherini, but I mean, why this song? But I've grown to like it over the 2 months I've been playing it. It's got a nice Spanish theme to it that I really enjoy, so.
You play it with great flair. Looking forward to this. Thank you. Sterling Elliott, 14-year-old cellist from Newport News, Virginia, performing the third movement of Edward Lalo's Cello Concerto in D Minor. Sterling is one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists. Like the piece now, I bet, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They seem to like it. I certainly enjoyed playing that with you. It was just beautiful, Sterling. Your whole family is musical, and we've actually had your violin-playing brother, Brendan, on the show before, but this intrigued me. Brendan is your chaperone here in Aspen this summer. I'm seeing that you are having a sort of a hard time keeping a straight face when I'm calling him a chaperone. Is there something suspicious about that?
It's funny you say that. My mom was kind of suspicious about sending me here because my brother had to be my chaperone, and brother, chaperone. You know how that goes.
But really, I mean, what could you two get up to here at the Aspen Music Festival as two classical string players that could possibly be sneaky?
I'm afraid I can't tell you.
I know you two are very close, and you've always stuck by each other. Tell the story of the pretend sword fight when you were younger.
One time, my brother and I was about 7, he was maybe 10 or 11, and we were playing with rolled up pieces of paper, and we were like jabbing and slashing, and he accidentally jabbed my eye, and I had like a huge like welt, like bruise around my eye. And like, so I went crying and told my mom, and well, my dad came and was about to ground my brother, but then like I jumped in at the last second and said, no, it wasn't him, and like, he still got grounded, but ever since then, we've had a really tight relationship, and I really like it.
That's perfect brother relationship. I mean, my siblings would have worked that. They would have been crying for weeks. I would have been grounded for life. Bless your heart for that. Brendan is now in Philadelphia studying at the Curtis Institute. Are you going to follow in his footsteps, you think?
It really depends what cello teachers are there 4 years from now, and I haven't really decided whether I'm going to major in cello. I mean, I love performing and playing for people, but I just haven't decided.
Well, we hope that this splendid performance of yours is a vote of encouragement. I'd love to have you playing again and hearing you again. Thanks so much, Sterling.
Thank you.
Sterling Elliott, 14-year-old cellist from Newport News, Virginia.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Harris Concert Hall at the Aspen Music Festival and School in Aspen, Colorado. Coming up, more outstanding young musicians studying here in Aspen this summer, including a 16-year-old violinist from Woodbury, New York, performing Tchaikovsky's playful waltz scherzo. Our residency at the Aspen Music Festival has been made possible with generous support from the Sidney E. Frank Foundation. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
At the piano now, the fantastic 16-year-old Joanne mentioned at the top of the show. He's from Fujian Province in China, but he's now in the U.S. studying at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia with Robert MacDonald and with Veda Kaplinsky here at Aspen this summer. This is Jiacheng Sheng performing two preludes by Claude Debussy, both from Book 2. We'll hear number 4, Les Fées d'un d'exquise danseuse, and number 6, General Levine Eccentric.
Thank you.
Jia Cheng Sheng, 16-year-old pianist, playing two preludes by Debussy. Well, I haven't heard a palette of color and articulation and such eloquent phrasing in those Debussy preludes in quite a long time. That was just extraordinary. Just
Thank
beautiful
you.
Playing. Sheng Sheng, you told me your parents aren't musical at all. So how did you come to be introduced to the piano?
My parents weren't taking care of me when I was 3 years old. So I was living with my godmother. She has a piano in her shop. And I just obsessed. I was really obsessed of the way the sound came out. And she started to teach me when she find out I hang out a lot with her piano. So that's how I started.
That's wonderful. You've described two crucial moments in your young life when, as you put it, you had just one shot to make it. First one was at a national competition in China that led to your acceptance at the Central Conservatory in Beijing. Tell that story.
Okay. After I studied with Mr. Dong Hui Huang, who's still teaching Fuzhou province, after 5 years, he wants me to be in a piano national competition. And that was my first piano competition. I think it's really exciting and fun. My parents are like, well, you already studied for 7 years of piano. If you really want to try it, why not? So I'm really lucky. I got in the final round. And because I come from a tiny town of China, so it's already a big deal for me. So my parents think, oh, it's totally enough for you. Don't go that far. But they know it's not enough for me because I always like scream, I want to go to Beijing to do the final round. So finally they nodded. But because they never think I will win. I mean, So, yeah, but I work hard. So fortunately, I did it. And Miss Ai Pingjing, who teach me another 5 years in Beijing, she found me in the backstage after the winner concert. She said, you should try to come to Beijing Central Conservatory. My parents' reaction is like, no, because I live in South China, and they are very traditional, so they don't want me to live that far. So, but finally, like, I begged them, like, I don't know, I don't remember how many times I begged them, but anyway, they nodded. So, and they say, this is the only time we will give you. And fortunately, I did it. So this is unbelievable.
Yeah. And then you had one shot to come to this country to study. How did that come about?
There's a teacher's name is Chen Xing Xu. She gave a master class in Beijing Central Conservatory in 2010. And I feel very interesting in what is the music and what is going on the other side of the earth. So, and in the same time, we had a really serious financial problem. And so my mom supported me to come to audition, but the deal is I have to drop my school in China. So it means if I cannot get in any school, I have to back to my little town without any school. So yeah, and I think, no, I worked hard and crazy for 5 years, and I think I successfully used that pressure, only chance to get in Curtis Institute of Music.
Well, it's extraordinary that journey that you made from that little town. I know you're very grateful for this financial support that Curtis is giving you. I certainly think they're getting their money's worth. And it was certainly an honor to hear you and have you on the program.
Thank you.
All the best. Jia Chen Sheng, 16 years old, a pianist from Fujian, China.
When Zhangzheng performs, it's all passion, hair flying, sparks coming off the keys. You can watch a video of his performance at fromthetop.org. Chris.
You'd think that the National Football League wouldn't be a place to find men who studied classical music in their youth, but more than a few players fit the bill. And the punter for the Oakland Raiders, Chris Cluey, is one of them. Chris is an 8-year veteran of the NFL, and in addition to his excellence on the field, he's also distinguished himself as a vocal advocate of reform of the culture of the NFL and of gay rights. I spoke to him earlier. Greetings to you, Chris. Thanks for joining us. When you were growing up, Chris, what were you playing? You were a violinist, I think?
I played the violin growing up for, I want to say, about 7 years, pretty much from grade school up until high school. And then once I got into high school, it was either sports after school or music after school.
People sometimes draw parallels between the personal qualities required to excel in sports and those required to become a great musician. Do you see any parallels in that?
Yeah, because you have to have this drive to be the very best. I mean, if you're going to make it in anything in life to the upper echelons of whatever it is you're doing, you have to be able to not only sacrifice time for training, you know, you have to put in the time to be good at it, but you also have to be able to have that focus to when you're actually performing, mm-hmm. you know, not just out on the practice field, when you're actually, you know, doing it live in front of people, you still have to be at that very high level, mm-hmm. you know, that you get when you're practicing. And
right.
I think that goes for any activity, you know, any sport, any musical performance, anything.
Very well said. Chris, thanks for taking the time to appear on our show. Before you go, would you do us the honor of introducing our next young performer?
And now, a 16-year-old violinist who, though she may not be able to punt a football to save her life, is a way better classical musician than I ever could have hoped to be. From Woodbury, New York, please welcome Angela Wee.
Welcome, Angela. Is Chris Cluey shortchanging your football abilities?
No, I don't know anything about football.
Okay. By the way, if you all want to hear my full conversation with Chris Cluey, go to fromthetop.org. Angela, while I head back to the piano, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We are going to play the Waltz-Scherzo by Tchaikovsky. Thank you.
Angela Wee, 16-year-old violinist from Woodbury, New York, performing the waltz Scherzo by Tchaikovsky. Well, you dance that piece almost as well as you play it. That's great. We were talking earlier about favorite memories of attending the Aspen Music Festival in school, but your favorite memory involves sweat.
Well, 4 years ago, when it was my first summer here at Aspen, Sarah Chang came here and she performed the Shostakovich Concerto. And if anybody doesn't know, that piece is like a monster for the violin. And I think it's perfect for Sarah Chang because everyone knows how like physical she is. But anyway, so after the concert was finished, my teacher told me that he could bring me backstage and meet her. And this is my first time meeting her, so like I was so excited. But when I saw her, my face got all red, and I was so, like, embarrassed. But I was still happy to be there. But when I took a picture with her, she was still, like, sweating and, like, panting, which I could understand because the performance was awesome. But when I took a picture with her, her sweat got on my arm.
Ew.
But you could call me crazy, but that was a real moment for me. It was amazing.
You have washed the arm since then, I think. Yes?
No.
No. I can't blame you. When you play, you move a lot like Sarah Chang, so I think you'll take that as a compliment and seriously off to a great, great start. Thank you for being with us. Great playing with you. Angela Wee, 16 years old, our violinist from Woodbury, New York. As I mentioned earlier, we're coming to you today from a place just crawling with From the Top alumni, and we've invited another one to end our show today. Pianist Colton Peltier first appeared on our show when he was 14. Home for him is Hastings, Minnesota, but today, at age 19, Colton lives in New York City and studies at the Juilliard School with Veda Kaplinsky. He then follows Veda to Aspen to study with her during the summer. Welcome, Colton. Thanks for coming back on the show. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
I will be playing Faux Follet by Liszt.
A very fleet-fingered way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Colton, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from Stanford Youth Orchestra, a summer program for high school students on the Stanford University campus at youthorchestra.stanford.edu. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.